A global campaign to get vaccine-rich countries to share one out of every five doses. I'm David Brancaccio. The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, is pushing the world's richest countries to donate one-fifth, 20% of their COVID vaccines to 18 African nations that are running out. Vaccine manufacturers are not keeping up with demand, in part because of the terrible infection rate in India. The BBC's Tulip Mazumdar reports.
COVID-19 has ravaged every corner of the globe, but as rich countries vaccinate millions of people each day to protect them against the deadly virus, some poorer nations are yet to vaccinate a single person. Ever since India stopped exporting COVID vaccines because of the crisis there, countries in Africa have been counting down their last doses.
It is deeply unfair. Of the almost 2 billion doses that have been administered globally, Sub-Saharan Africa has still received about 1% of all these vaccines.
That's Dr. Fiona Atwebwe from the World Health Organization. She's in charge of introducing COVID vaccines in the Africa region.
We have 10 countries that have already completely run out of doses. We have countries like Morocco, Rwanda, Lesotho, Eswatini that have used up all their doses. But we also have a number of countries that will use up all their vaccine in the next couple of weeks. Like Uganda, we have countries like Kenya, Seychelles, Egypt.
At the same time, richer countries have bought up the bulk of global supplies and are pushing full steam ahead with their vaccination programs.
Tulip Mazumdar is with our editorial partner, the BBC. Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down 0.3%. Stocks in Amsterdam, the AEX index, down 0.4%. Chief diversity officers are in demand. Big banks, universities, the Biden administration, many more. Between 2015 and 2020, the number of people with the title head of diversity grew 107%. That's according to LinkedIn data, but they don't last long. That data shows CDOs stay on average just 3 years. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
Corporate interest in diversity, equity, and inclusion comes in waves. There was a surge when Black Lives Matter initially took off, then again with the Me Too movement, and there was last summer after the murder of George Floyd.
It's the busiest I've been in 18 years.
Sharon Jones is a diversity and inclusion consultant. She says things have felt different in the last year. Requests from companies are more urgent, and some have led to real changes, like the hiring of in-house chief diversity officers.
If diversity and inclusion is supporting you, it has to be somebody who has responsibility for making sure it happens.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art hired Lavita McMath-Turner to be its first CDO last fall. Part of her job is to make sure the staff is diverse when it comes to race, gender, and academic background, but also when it comes to what's hanging on the walls.
Inclusion is actually a part of that effort. You know, who gets to tell the stories and whose stories are told.
She says part of her job in making inclusion a piece of the Met's institutional fabric is to convince employees that it's not just her job, but everyone's. Stephanie Creary, a professor of management at Wharton, says for many diversity officers, that can be exhausting. And it's one reason why CDO turnover is so high.
They're spending a lot of time in meetings convincing people that this is important and don't always have sufficient time to do the work that needs to be done in order to move the needle on diversity.
To do better, Creary says companies need to hire diversity teams and hire CDOs with the right experience instead of promoting an employee who's never worked in HR or law.
They were good marketers or they were good at selling toothbrushes, right? But they weren't necessarily people who have any background other than their own personal experience.
For those who've been at it for years, the work isn't necessarily getting easier. But for Leslie Slayton Brown, who's been the CDO at HP Inc. since 2015, the aftermath of Floyd's murder has pushed people to engage.
People were tired. People were angry and just sick of seeing the injustices happening to Black and African Americans.
She says that anger drove workers to have deeper and more direct conversations about equity. I'm Kristen Schwab from Marketplace.
Another way companies try to change their culture to better embrace diversity and fairness is to get some managers to focus on this as part of all their other duties, important extra work, but piled on top of everything else. Now the LinkedIn company I mentioned earlier is going to pay its own employees extra for their work fostering inclusion, diversity, and equity. The publication Axios has that story today. $10,000 pay is in recognition of the energy and insight the employees are bringing to the effort.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Tennis star Naomi Osaka's decision to withdraw from the French Open is putting renewed focus on mental health in the workplace. Press briefings provoke anxiety for Osaka, and the rules state she had to do press conferences, and Osaka faces a fine. Other workplaces are obligated to make accommodations. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
When someone suffers from a mental health issue, it's what people like Peter Smith call an invisible condition. He's a senior scientist at the Institute for Work and Health in Toronto. He says many employers just don't know how to handle it.
Workplaces do tend to struggle with thinking about how to accommodate people with mental health conditions. And I think the advice is you need to involve them in the process.
He says employers need to put practices in place that allow for employees to be candid about mental health issues. Smith says star athletes talking about mental health might help workers feel more comfortable bringing up the issues too. But some in the sports world said Osaka owes it to women's tennis to speak to the press, despite her anxiety. Kavitha Davidson at The Athletic disagrees.
The only obligations that I think Naomi Osaka should have to the game are by playing it as best as she can, because that is the best way to actually grow this game.
She says Osaka's critics need to recognize that even extremely successful athletes are human beings. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.